Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good... Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Thanks be to God, the Word of God.
Thank you, the Word of God for the people of God.
The Word of God for the people of God.
Amen, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much for reading today, especially just so soon after your trip. Well, several years ago when I was pastor up in Bethany, the district superintendent asked me to sort of oversee two other country churches. Pattonsburg, if you ever go up on I-35, it's right on the highway. It was a town that was moved after the flood of 93. They moved it from the bottoms up to the hill, and it's right there on I-35 south of the Iowa line. Heath Chapel was out in the country on a gravel road. Well, one weekday morning, I was in Pattonsburg for a funeral. We had just finished the service, and we had stepped outside to load up the casket. And everything was going pretty well, and we were getting ready to process out to the cemetery. Everything was going well. It was a pretty spring day when out of nowhere, a siren began to blare. It was one of those big tornado sirens, you know, and in Pattonsburg, it was right in the middle of town. It was the tallest structure around. It was loud. It was a clear day, you know, like I said, so I knew it wasn't a tornado. So that left two possibilities. It was either the end of the world or a weekly test, and I assumed the latter. Well, we got into the hearse, and I asked the funeral director, you know, is this the weekly test? I don't think it was a Wednesday, but he said, nope. He pointed to his watch. It was straight up noon, and he said, noon whistle. It was a noon whistle. Although pretty much a thing of the past, some of these small towns up in northwest Missouri still do a noon whistle, just to let everybody who's hard at work outside know that it's time to stop and go to lunch. We may not have a noon whistle here in Plattsburgh, but we do have plenty of other alarms in our lives and interruptions, some welcome and not so much. Studies have shown that most of us get interrupted at work several times per hour, and it's getting worse. Some of us have phones or jobs where the phone rings and emails come in throughout the day, and our own phones buzz and ding to let us know that we have a new message, or there's a deal that we can't pass up, or something terrible has happened in the news. Well, this morning we're talking about interruptions, some that annoy us and upset us. Many interruptions are distracting, and a few make us laugh and bring us joy. I know you all watch those reels. Once in a while, interruptions remind us what really matters in life, about that God is at work among us. And that's the kind of interruption, the breakthrough, that I want to talk about this morning. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus sounds the alarm for his disciples. He told them to be ready and expect the unexpected, which is the coming of the kingdom of God. Well, today we meet up with Jesus as he's walking his way to Jerusalem. Over the course of several weeks and months, Jesus winds his way through ancient Palestine as he teaches and heals and interacts with people. In fact, the bulk of the Gospels is Jesus's, it's really a climactic journey that leads up to Jerusalem where his death and resurrection occurs. And while he's there, on his way to Jerusalem, during those weeks and months, his teachings about the kingdom of God become more intense and urgent. Now, this idea of the kingdom of God is one of the most foundational teachings in the Bible. In fact, it's the first thing that Jesus spoke in his ministries when he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." There are over 100 references to the kingdom of God in the Gospels. It's one of the most foundational teachings or themes in the Gospels. And it's something that I tend to mention almost every service and every prayer. But what is it? Well, I would describe the kingdom of God as the presence of God that comes to the earth through Jesus, in which we and ultimately the world are transformed by the love of God. I say the kingdom of God isn't so much a place, it's an existence. It's a feeling and a sharing of the love of God that leads to transformation in our lives and in our world. The kingdom of God is the closest thing that we can get to heaven on earth. It's a glimpse, it's a foretaste, it's a sample, if you will. Those of you who go to Costco, it's a sample of the kingdom of God. It's a sample of heaven. And I believe that it's our job as Christians to think less about getting into heaven one day and more about bringing heaven to here right now, the kingdom of God right now. And it seems like that's the theme of the scriptures. Jesus wasn't so much concerned with getting into heaven one day. Jesus was more concerned about bringing the kingdom of God right here, right now. So sure enough, in today's passage, Jesus is talking about the kingdom again. He tells his disciples, don't be afraid, that it's God's good pleasure to give us, to give his children the kingdom of God. God loves all of us so much, Jesus says, that he wants to share his kingdom with us. And by the kingdom of God, again, I just mean all things good, healthy, and happy, and fulfilled from Jesus in heaven. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's really one thing, too, that really set God, the God of Jesus, apart from all the other deities in the Roman world, is that God and Jesus, Jesus showed us that God desires a very personal relationship with us. Jesus says it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. Yet part of experiencing the kingdom of God, part of experiencing God in our lives and in our world today, is letting go of those things that seem to get in the way of it. In verse 33, he calls his disciples to sell their possessions. Jesus is on sort of a money theme, as you know, if you've been with us the past few weeks. And he says to make purses for themselves that will never wear out, to store up things that no one can take away from us and no moth can destroy. Now, Jesus is not talking about good purses like Coach and Gucci and Michael Kors, though they're nice. He's reorienting our idea of what God's economy looks like. Things look mighty different in God's economy. In the Roman economy, for example, and like ours in this part of the world, it was about self-fulfillment. Capitalism in this part of the world is about me getting ahead. It's about individuals competing with one another for wealth. It seems like individuals are all for each other in this part of the world, working only for ourselves, really. But in God's economy, things are much different. In the kingdom of God, the things of the world don't matter. What matters to God and to Jesus are things of heaven, things of the kingdom, like love and justice and inclusion. These are the things that no moth can destroy or no thief can take away. In verse 34, Jesus says something that all of us know so well and maybe have said a couple of times. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying that we cannot train ourselves into a way of thinking. Jesus is saying that we can train ourselves into a way of thinking that aligns with the kingdom of God. When we share with others, when we work to share love and reconciliation with others, and with God. Where we put our interest and how we spend our time not only reflects where our heart is, but it also shapes the person and our heart that we are to become. If we spend all of our time and talent and resources on ourselves, guess where our heart will be, Jesus asked. But if we give to those in need, if we share of our resources, when we work for God's economy, you'll find yourself growing more and more into the mind of Christ. And all of this to say is that part of receiving the kingdom of God is sharing it. Jesus really sounds the alarm this morning, like that noon whistle after the funeral or a phone call when your hands are full. Jesus jolts the disciples to their senses on what really matters in life. Human nature, we often focus on fleeting things, things that really don't matter in the long run, things like careers and possessions and what other people think about us. And while these things can be good, what Jesus doesn't want us to do is to let them take priority over our relationship with him or with others. In other words, to not be consumed. Jesus sounds the alarm to be on the guard against things that really consume us and interfere with our relationship with him and with each other. Now, in verse 35, he shifts the metaphor from a loving and generous parent who wants to give us the kingdom the metaphor becomes the master of a Roman household, which his audience would have been very familiar with. He explains how the servant should be ready as their master comes home in the middle of the night. He says to be dressed for action and to keep your lamps lit. One of the authors that I'm familiar with talked about how keeping your lamps lit is an important image, especially for first century Rome. You know, all we have to do to keep our lamps lit in these parts is to flip a switch, or not only that, we can set a timer or use a motion sensor or pull up an app on our phone and we can operate the lights, across the world. But in the first century, it took work and lots of it. To keep your lamps lit in Jesus' day meant going from room to room, monitoring the wicks and checking your oil. And it was really work that the servants would have to do. Jesus is saying that discipleship isn't just a one thing that you did at confirmation or at baptism. Discipleship takes daily effort and vigilance. And I would say especially so in this world that we live in today. Jesus tells them, be ready to receive the master when he comes to the wedding feast so that you'll be ready to receive him when he stands at the door and knocks. Now, Jesus knocking is a very common image in the New Testament when it talks about Jesus' return. And then in verse 37, Jesus says that it'll be like alert slaves that are getting ready for his return. But they will sit at the table and he will serve them. I mean, isn't that a powerful image? Imagine if, for example, a president or a CEO of a company invites everybody to the table, but instead of them serving him, the employees sit down and they are served. In verse 37, Jesus says that to be like the alert slaves when they're ready for his return, that they'll sit at the table and he will serve them. I mean, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like this. Though we are called to serve God, it's God who first serves us and the kingdom. You know, we often talk about the kingdom of God as if it is heaven, some way far off into the future. In other words, we talk about the kingdom of God to be like heaven, and it is that. But what a wonderful day it'll be when we're one with God and one with each other. But I've spoken many times, and I mentioned before, about how I believe the kingdom of God is something that we see and share this very day. And just like Jesus will come again in glory one day, many of us can attest that it's often that Jesus comes into our own hearts many times throughout the day when we actively seek him. When we seek first the kingdom of God, all things will be added. But not material things. It's the things of God. And when we do that, we become more like Jesus. The kingdom of God isn't something, that's something that we get into the future. It can and often does happen every single day when we seek and share God's love. And now, so remember how Jesus said earlier that we should store up our treasure in heaven? so that no thief can steal and no moth can destroy? Well, interestingly, he compares the coming of the kingdom of God to the coming of a thief in the night. And I'm not sure really how to take this, but after all, he said that, you know, store up things in heaven so no thief can take away. And he likens God to a thief. But my take on this is this. Jesus flips the metaphor of a bad thief who wants to steal, and he likens it to the unexpected joy of God coming into our lives every single day. Sometimes God comes to us in the middle of the night, sometimes in the middle of the day, but how blessed we are when we see God's presence in ways that we hadn't seen before. Well, like that noon whistle at the funeral years ago, like the dings and dongs and buzzes from our phones that interrupt us multiple times each hour, there is a lot that distracts us these days. And I'm finding that it takes a lot to keep our minds on things that really matter. Things like friendships and relationships and keeping a hope of God in this world that seems to be barely holding itself together. In fact, sometimes it feels like we are barely holding ourselves together, doesn't it? We need to try to maybe free up our time and our schedules whenever possible to look for the presence of God and allow for an inbreaking of God's kingdom. There's a lot, I think, that is consuming us in our world. Some things are small things that seem great big at the time, but are not big in God's eyes. Things like the mistakes you make or the pimple on your face. Yeah, there it is. But you know, there are things that may seem small, but they're quite big. For example, I'm concerned about society's reliance upon technology and how in the case of our phones, for example, I think that we're not so much consumers as we are being consumed. We've scheduled ourselves nearly ragged, and it's little wonder that God must break through in the midst of our days with holy interruptions that show his presence. God will interrupt us, you know, whether or not we make the time for him. But we should do our best, you know, and I think part of allowing God to interrupt our lives is partly our effort in making time for him. Y'all heard me talk about how I have set my alarm for 3:01 every day. 3:01 because our address is 301 Broadway. I've been interrupted at the store while driving, during a nap, on the lawnmower several other times. And certainly, God doesn't just talk to me at 3:01 in the afternoon. But this interruption does help me reset my mind in the middle of the day. Often by 3 o'clock, you know, your day is underway. You're still at work. You've still got some things. Maybe you're finishing up. And so that time seems to work out good for me. It's a good time that I know I'm going to be interrupted doing something. And when I often am, and it just helps me to stop and reorient my mind on God and on others. It's whatever time you set for yourself, you know, if it doesn't work for you, still find a time maybe when you can set an alarm or a prayer alarm or something to remind yourself in the middle of the day to give praise to God. And if you got your hands full or you don't know what to say, that's okay. Say something to God. It can be as short as you like. It can be a breath prayer. God help me. God lead me. God show me the way. It can be something very simple. It can be in the middle of whatever you're doing or driving or working. But seek the kingdom. Might we allow opportunities for God to interrupt our lives? Might we look for ways that God interrupts us and breaks through in the midst of our busyness and our stress and our schedule? But also, may we take time to schedule God to interrupt us? Seek the kingdom. Let God interrupt you. Look for ways that God can break through your life with his presence. So that when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can know that God hears us. God wants to give us joy and peace and fulfillment of heaven in this very moment. So thanks be to God. It is God's good pleasure as his children that we receive the kingdom of God. Not one day far off into the future, but right now today. Look for, ask for, experience, schedule those moments with God so that we can seek his kingdom above all things and they'll be added. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you break through our lives, that you show us your presence when we least expect it or even want it. God, in the busyness of our week ahead, we pray that you will break through, that you will show us your love and help us to share it with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.